Miriam Meets on RTE Radio 1 with Miriam O'Callaghan.
Hello there and welcome to the programme. Well, tonight we're going to listen once again to an interview from the Miriam Meets series recorded two summers ago. My guests on that morning in July 2010 were boxer Katie Taylor and her father and coach Peter. We talked about boxing, about her Christian faith and about her hopes for her future. At that stage, women's boxing had just been accepted for the London 2012 Olympics. Winning at those Olympic Games was but a distant dream.
This is the moment when the dream becomes a reality, not just for Katie Taylor, but indeed for the people of Ireland. Katie Taylor waits. We all wait. Here comes the result.
The winner by a score of 10 points to 8.
Yeah.
And the Olympic champion.
Yeah.
In the red corner.
It's ours.
Katie
yes.
Taylor is the Olympic champion of the world. The gold medalist. From Bray, dreams do come true. Wonderful.
Katie's dream came true, and along with the rest of the country, I'm delighted to congratulate her on a brilliant sporting achievement. That morning 2 years ago, I began our conversation by asking Katie, when exactly did she know she could box?
I've always been a real sporty child anyway, with the soccer and Gaelic and athletics, and boxing was obviously in the family as well. My father and my two brothers were boxing as well, so it was always a really natural thing for me to get involved in the sport. It was never anything strange. I always kind of knew how to throw a punch even before I went into the boxing club. So it was in the family. So,
but you could have thrown a punch at home, Peter.
Yeah, no, she was always very quiet. But where we live, there's a big green and we used to have all the kids out boxing, and Katie would be in the middle of all the lads fighting with them all the time, you know, even when she was younger, you know.
And like, you yourself were a boxer, weren't you, Peter?
Yeah.
And were you two daughters, two sons?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And is it amazing that it's ended up that one of your daughters is the champion boxer? I know that's a really sexist comment, but rather than one of the sons.
Yeah, I suppose it's strange, but it just progressed like that. The two lads are still boxing, but Katie was just more into it than the lads were, you know.
Was it true that when you were about 10, your dad took you along to the club for the first time?
Yeah, I think it was around 10 when I first went into the boxing club.
Can you remember what it felt like? Was it exciting?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I think it was inspiring the first day I went there, and just with all the lads and, you know, the shadow boxing, punching the bags. I just loved it from the start.
And so, when you saw her that first time sparring in a real boxing ring, Peter, did you kind of think, actually, this is a real possibility?
No, not really. I think Katie was mad into the soccer and the athletics at the time, and there was no female boxing anyway in the country, so it was just another sport for Katie to mess around with. At that age, you don't think anything like that, you know. It was just another sport for her, really, you know.
And actually, we have a clip that we found, actually, when you were about 11, Katie. Yeah. Morning Ireland went out and did a piece, and they found a little girl called Katie Taylor who wanted to be a boxer. Let's listen to this.
Oh, God.
Now the time is 16 minutes to 9. We move on to the controversial subject of women boxing. Here in Ireland, an 11-year-old girl is the latest sporting or boxing sensation. Katie Taylor from Bray in County Wicklow was given her first pair of boxing gloves last Christmas. Now she spars with the best of them, tackling teenage boys in St. Fergal's Boxing Club and winning. Katie's coach is Mick Byrne, a man with 50 years' experience of boxing. Valerie Cox joined him and his protege for a training session in the ring.
When my father brought her up to the club last year, Katie was messing about there, and you could see it with her, but she's a natural. I'd put her in with any of the lads the present day, her age and weight, they wouldn't stand with her. She is absolutely fantastic. I've never seen anyone with hands as fast, or movement of feet, or balance. She's just a natural.
Katie's mum, Bridget Taylor, has been a judge of the All-Ireland Championships. Bridget, how do you feel about your daughter taking up boxing?
Initially, I was a little bit worried about it because of her being a girl. I'm quite happy for her to do it. She has the talent for it. And I think she should be, you know, allowed to express that talent.
I was watching my dad and my brother's box, and I thought I'd like to have a go with it.
So when did you get your first boxing gloves?
For Christmas.
And do you like boxing?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
It keeps me fit and all my friends like me doing boxing.
And are you not afraid of being hurt?
No, because I never do get hurt. I was sparring a boy and hit him in the nose and he fell. And there was blood coming out of his nose.
Katie's brothers, 18-year-old Lee and 13-year-old Peter, also take boxing very seriously. What did you think of your baby sister becoming involved?
Oh, I thought it was great, you know what I mean? Seeing her getting in the ring and all, sparring all the young lads and all, doing great against them where she was little, she was. And I just think it's good that she sees someone of small her age and a girl getting in the ring with boys and being able to do as well as anyone else can.
And would you be worried about her getting hurt?
Well, I've seen her so far and she hasn't been getting hurt. She's only, the only damage she's been doing is hurting them.
I think she's deadly. Like, she was right at the start and then she came so good. She had to be sparring 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds. So.
And what about the two of you now? Would you be afraid to take her on?
Surely would. She'd batter any of us anyway.
Pete Taylor, Katie's dad, was the All-Ireland light heavyweight champion in 1986. But could his daughter go that far?
Well, if the girls are allowed to box, I can't see anybody beating Katie for her age. She spars against the young lads. She was actually sparring there last week against a young boy at her own age who got to the final of the All-Irelands. And Katie handled him easily. The young lads have to get into the finals of the All-Irelands the same weight as Katie, same age. And he couldn't handle Katie at all. So if she was sparring against, fighting against other girls, she'd have no problems.
I'm going to go all the way to the very top.
That's amazing to hear that now. Have you heard that since, Bob?
I haven't heard that since now. Oh, it's funny just listening to me two brothers as well. It's funny.
And it was interesting from your point, Peter, you were saying, you know, if you know, women could box, if she could go to the top. It's amazing. Back then, you weren't even thinking that would be a possibility.
No, there was, like I said, there was no female boxing at all. And in Ireland, we started very late with the female boxing. It was already going in all the other countries, you know, in Sweden and Finland. We were kind of a bit late by setting it up, you know.
And that first night you went into the ring, Katie, with your dad when you were about 10, it was in a moment when you thought, actually, I'd love to do this permanently in my life.
I don't think I ever really thought of that. Just, you know, at that age, it's just a pure enjoyment factor and you don't really think that you're going to be taking it up full time. I was just involved with so many sports back then and it's just kind of another one to keep me going.
Do you remember much of the detail of that night when you did go into the ring?
Yeah, I remember the first my first spar and it was brilliant. Yeah, it was very natural for me. Like, I didn't really find it tough at all. I always knew kind of how to hold my hands and it was always a very natural thing.
Do you remember who you sparred against?
I do, yeah. Will I say his name? Or
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it was Michael Hart was his name. I think he doesn't box anymore, but he's a local lad in Bray.
Did you have it on video?
Yeah, so that was my first spar.
And at what stage, Peter, did it dawn on you that, in fact, she could maybe make a go of this?
We went to his first tournament in Norway. And first contest, you boxed a girl called Ingrid Egner. Matchy was your last contest as well. Fought her last week as well. And she was ranked very high in the world. Katie was only 17 and she beat her well. And then she beat a Swedish girl and in the final got best boxer. And then everybody was talking about her then. And then Katie won the next tournament in Italy and she beat the current world champion. And
wow.
You just knew that, you know, she was going to go all the way then, you know.
And is it true that when she was really young, like when she was about 11, you used to enter into competitions and some of the boys wouldn't even know she was a girl?
Yeah, well, it's the only way we could get competition at the time was just leave the headgear on Katie and throw her in there.
And pretend she was a boy.
Yeah. And then we used to go around to a few clubs and in Dublin, and some of the clubs in Dublin, like Crumlin and all, really looked after us, and they always got Katie contests against the boys, you know.
Yeah.
Phil Sutcliffe and all, they were great with us.
But did they look at you then like you were a bit mad, that, you know, you were actually seriously thinking that your daughter could be a boxer? Like, it's different today, but back then you weren't meant to do this, were you?
No, there was so much opposition against it, you know. Wherever you went, nobody wanted to know about female boxing. There's so much opposition against it. It was unbelievable. And even now we're to some extent he is as well, you know.
And back then as her dad, when you were almost breaking the mould and thinking my daughter could be a boxer, did you ever worry yourself, Peter? You're thinking, maybe they're right, maybe I'm mad, maybe I shouldn't be encouraging her.
No, because Katie had every right to box, you know, and Katie was training with all the lads are going off and winning titles, and she wasn't getting that opportunity. And I just thought that was wrong at the time, you know. So we just pushed on with it, you know, and lucky enough we got to where we are now, you know.
When did you know, Katie, that you were going to be a great boxer and that you wanted to do this full time?
I think when I was around probably 17, and after winning that first title, I took it a bit more seriously at the time, and I was training every day for then, and that's kind of when the football had to take a back step as well. But my family are all so supportive, and even from the very start, they were always encouraging me, and you know, I always felt like they believed me as well. And even when I wasn't getting the contests, that's the reason I kept going was because of the support of my family. And my father had to fight so much for me back then to get me contests. And I think if it wasn't for my father fighting all the way, women's boxing wouldn't be around in Ireland. I think I have a lot to thank, I think, for my father, you know, for getting me all those contests and fighting for me all the way through.
He's your father and he's your coach. Is he a hard taskmaster? What's he like as a coach?
I think he's very, I don't know, very honest and fair. I mean, all he wants from everyone that he trains is that if we give it 100%, that's all that matters to him, really. And it doesn't matter if we win, lose or draw, as long as we just try our best and give it everything we have. Yeah, I don't know, I think that's fair to say, is it?
Yeah. Probably a bit soft on there sometimes.
He's soft with me, but I think
that's good.
With anyone else, maybe.
And he's very important as your coach, because there was a period when maybe he wasn't around as your coach, and you really feel you need him as your coach to do as well as you're doing, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few competitions where he wasn't there with me, a few of the international competitions, and I think I lost nearly every time he wasn't in my corner. But I just need him there in my corner just for confidence, and he knows me inside out now at this stage, and he knows what to say to me before fights, and he knows me better than anyone else, so it's very important that he's in the corner with me all the time.
What do you say to her in the corner?
When Katie's boxing, I know all the female boxers have videos of them all, so like we said before, I study the videos, and I just know what Katie needs before she fights as well. I know with a routine going, we have the same warm-up all the time, and it's just a routine, it works for us, really, you know. And I think Kate is, like, she's so much confidence in me, and I have so much confidence in her. It's just the chemistry, it works.
You don't break the routine. In other words, if you are going to have a fight on a particular day, what is the routine?
Yeah, we go for a walk, don't we? Usually get up early, get a breakfast.
Yeah, we usually go to the weigh-in and go for breakfast, and we usually go for a walk, and I usually have the same routine before every fight, really.
And what else do you do?
I just kind of listen to the same songs on my iPod and read the same Bible verses and the same warm-up as well. So it's usually the same thing before every fight.
Because you like Psalm 18, don't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Psalm 18 and a few other verses as well, but I think Psalm 18 is my favourite.
Why do you like them?
It's just a real uplifting verse and real encouraging, and I'm a Christian as well, so I just love reading the Bible and love listening to kind of my Christian songs on my iPod as well before my fights. It means so much to me as well. So,
if I asked you to say a verse of Psalm 18, would you be able to say it? Would you mind saying it?
Yeah, I think I know a bit of it anyway. Yeah. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He trains my hands for battle.
That's perfect, actually. Your dad said there that he watches the DVDs, say, of the female boxers. Do you watch them?
No, I never really watched them. I think I get too nervous when I watch the DVDs of the boxers. I never watch myself, even boxing as well. I think I just leave that up to my dad, and he can give me the tactics for it.
So would you never look back at yourself?
Not really, no, but I think my dad's saying that I should kind of look back a few of the boxing videos just to see the mistakes that I am making, but I don't know, I just don't like looking at myself boxing. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that. And now that you're heading, for instance, into the European and World Championships, how much do you have to train? What's the routine, Peter, like?
We train three times a day at the moment, running sessions, weight sessions and sparring. We travel up and down to Portlaoise for sparring. Pat Ryan, he's a coach that goes away with us all the time, nearly, you know, and he's boxers down there. We go down and spar them, or we go into the National Stadium for sparring with lads, and it's three times a day, so it's
a hard
week. We train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, rest Thursday, train Friday and Saturday, rest Sunday.
So that rules out really much else in your life, Katie, does it? I mean, do you go out? Do you socialise?
I don't really go out too much but coming up to competitions, obviously, because the training's so intense. But when I have a few weeks off, that's kind of when I catch up with my friends and I go for a few nights out or whatever. But I don't drink at all anyway, so it's not like I'm missing out on much anyway. Like, so I think I prefer a quiet life, really, and a quiet night in rather than nightclubs all the time. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on much, and this is what I love doing. And, you know, boxing, I'm doing something that I love doing every single day in my life. So
what's it like, that moment when you walk into the ring?
Well, it's obviously very nerve-wracking. I always get very nervous still before my fights, and but it's very exciting. I mean, it's, you're stepping into the ring, it's one against one, and I don't know, it's just a great feeling, you know, just to kind of go in there and express yourself and show everyone what women's boxing is all about.
Because you're a really gentle person. I mean, just talking to you now, do you almost turn into a different person in the ring, or do you remain the same, Katie?
No, I think if I have a chance to stop someone in the ring, I go for it. Like, it's a competitive sport, and it's a boxing match, so yeah, I suppose you have to have a bit of a wild streak in the ring, if that's the right word.
Do you recognise her in the ring? Is she very different, maybe, in the ring, Peter, than outside of?
When she's in the ring, like, she really goes for it now. You can see she's very aggressive, whereas she's non-aggressive outside of the ring, you know. But I think even then, when she plays soccer, she's the same as well. It's competitiveness, you know. But I think I get more nervous than Katie when she's boxing.
Yeah, definitely do.
Do you, Peter? Yeah.
Even when she's sparring, I even get nervous, you know. So I think Katie calms me down. I think that's nearly part of his pre-fight routine now, isn't it? Katie's giving me water, drinks of water and telling me to calm down, you know.
Look, we're going to take your first piece of music. It's No Other Way from Paolo Nutini. Do you like him?
Yeah, I love Paolo Nutini. I think he's my favourite at the moment anyway, I think.
Let's listen now to No Other Way, Paolo Nutini.
Frustration, it gets me with it, hurts me most. Like fire, drop it to the gut, it's not so easy to see.
No Other Way there, Paolo Nutini, Katie's choice of music. You're a great soccer player as well, aren't you?
Well, so I played internationally, I suppose, from under 17s to under 19s, and then I had a few games with the senior team as well, so. Unfortunately, the football had to kind of take a back step over the last few years with the boxing, and couldn't really keep the two of them going at such a high level, but still play a small bit of club football at the moment, just for a change, I suppose, from the boxing.
But I suppose if you want to be world number one, which you are, you have to make sacrifices,
yeah,
don't you?
Exactly, yeah, that's it. And obviously, I love playing the soccer as well, but it's hard to just kind of keep it going, especially at international level, you know. I wasn't as sharp as the other girls going into Irish training or whatever, and I had to kind of give it a break for a while. Maybe I'll pick it up again after the Olympics.
And also, you're a very interesting young woman, though, because an awful lot of young girls would be into kind of, I don't know, dolls or hockey, but like, you were into boxing and soccer.
I know, I should have been a bi, I think. Born a bi.
Did you find when you were younger, even like if you met boys when you were out and you say you're a boxer or you play soccer, did they look at you at first a bit odd? Or
I think they did at the start, you know, and a few years ago, but I think female boxing's getting a lot more popular now, so it's kind of just, it's not really strange for anyone anymore, I don't think so.
It's a good line, though, if you're in a nightclub or something, and a guy says, what do you do? I'm a boxer.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I think they probably don't know what to make me sometimes. But
you were in college, weren't you? But you had to give that up as well, in a sense, I suppose, for the boxing.
Yeah, I was in UCD for a year, just doing an arts degree, but it was just too much as well with the amount of assignments I had to have in and trying to fit that in with the training. I just couldn't keep it going. So I had to, I just wanted to, you know, concentrate on the boxing for the time being and focus all my energy as well as in my training and coming up to the Olympics as well.
But you are learning Irish.
Yeah, I'm taking a few Irish lessons at the moment.
Why are you doing that? Just because you want to?
Yeah, just I'd love to be able to speak my own language and maybe have an interview in Irish sometime, you know, after my fights or whatever. But yeah, I'd love to be able to speak it, but it's a tough language to learn. I mean, I can't. I'm not really getting the hang of it at the moment. But
don't worry, I'm not going to interview you. Yeah, it's great you do now.
Yeah.
How, Peter, did you end up? You're from Leeds.
Yeah.
So how did a Leeds boy end up in Ireland?
My father had a business in Bray and I came over and did a bit of work with him for one summer. And then met Bridget, my wife, and sent my family home and I stayed.
Were you always a boxer yourself when you were young? Even say before you met Bridget, were you always interested?
Yeah, I was boxed. Yeah, I was boxed. Boxed over in England in a club called the White Rose Boxing Club. And then, like I say, I came over here and fell in love and stayed and opened up Bray Boxing Club then in 1995. That's how the boxing has kind of developed in Bray then.
And what does Bridget think of all the boxing?
Bridget's mad into sport. You know, it's Bridget in our house, it turns on the World Cup in there. You know, yeah. She can tell us what's going on. And Bridget was the first female judge ever, boxing judge in Ireland, you know. She judged the All-Ireland seniors.
And as you said to me, she does a lot of the hard work, like washing all the gear. Like, tell me what kind of stuff she does that you don't necessarily get all the glory for.
Yeah, she does all the unseen work. She has to wash all the training gear, cooks all the meals and packs his bags when we go away, unpacks them when we come home. And she stays at home while we're travelling. Bridget always goes to the major competitions, not like the World Championships and the Europeans, but it's all the unseen work she does, you know, and in the background.
Does she get nervous of you in the ring?
Yeah, she gets very nervous as well, obviously. But she's always the loudest one in the stadium. Yeah. She's, you can hear me mutter over everyone else. I think when I was boxing in China in the World Championships, I was boxing against a Chinese girl in the final, and there must have been 2,000 people cheering for the Chinese girl, but you could still hear me mutter over all the Chinese people. But
there's a security area where you can't get, you know, the supporters can't get there. She always manages to get down to ringside at some stage.
Yeah,
she gets over there.
Where did you meet her?
In a nightclub.
Ooh. In Bray?
In Bray, yeah.
Where love stories begin.
Yeah, I don't know if the love stories begin. There's a place called the Duggan. I'd say people from Bray remember this. I'd say it was the roughest place in Bray. But yeah, that's fair.
And initially when Katie thought about being a boxer, even when she was very young, was Bridget as happy as you were, Peter, about it, or was she worried about a girl becoming a boxer?
I don't think it was ever spoke about, really. You know, it was just everybody boxing, you know, in the family. And Sarah, my other daughter, not the slightest bit interested in boxing now. Our sport, she wasn't. She's doing a little bit of training now, but she wasn't interested at all. It was never an issue, really, was it?
No.
You do, like, you would. Have you broken your nose a good few times?
Yeah, I've broken my nose a few times before.
How many times have you broken?
2 or 3 times at this stage, but I suppose that's the nature of the sport. You're going to be hit sometimes in the ring, so I think most boxers out there probably have a broken nose.
This probably sounds a really stupid question, but does it hurt being a boxer? Does it hurt you physically?
Well, you can obviously feel some punches a lot more than others. I mean, I've been hurt a few times to the body, but I've been hurt more to the body, really, than to the head, like the body shots. But thankfully, I haven't really been badly hurt at all in the ring, so.
And of course, because you're amateur, you wear all the headgear and everything, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You wear headgears and the referee is there in case you're taking too much punishment as well, so. It is a safe enough sport, I think.
And it must have been brilliant news when the Olympics of 2012 said they were going to have a women's boxing competition.
It was unbelievable because we actually thought women's boxing were going to be in 2008. We were promised 90% sure it'd be in Beijing. And then we'd been travelling around from 2008. We went to Chicago, boxing in Chicago for the Olympic Council. Then the big tournament was in Russia, in St. Petersburg. All the Olympic Council was there. And they said it was certain it's going to be in. So when it was announced, it was brilliant. So it's another challenge to look forward to, you know.
Although the European and the Worlds are coming up, would the Olympics be very much in your mind as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the main goal. It's always been what we've dreamed of, really. And the Olympics is the biggest competition around. So, I mean, to to represent your country in the Olympics is the biggest honour an athlete can have. So hopefully everything goes well in the next few years. And it is going to be a great challenge for me, and it's going to be very tough to qualify for the Olympics even. So it's going to be an exciting few years, I think.
And like when you say it's tough to say to qualify for the Olympics, for people who don't know, what is the process like to actually qualify? What do you need to do?
We've won tournament to qualify in. I think we've got to get in the top eight, get to the quarterfinals of the World Championships. With the girls now, there's only three weights, so there's 51, 60 and 75. So any girl that's 54, 57 or 64, 69, they're all trying to get down to 60 kilo.
Where does Katie fit into that?
Katie is 60 kilo. Right. So that is her weight for the Olympics. So on this one day, you've got to get everything right to qualify. If you're sick before then, or you could break your nose the day before, anything could happen. So everything has to be bang on for that one qualifying tournament just to get to the Olympics, you know. So.
And when will that be, roughly?
May 2012. May
2012. It's etched in your mind. Yeah. I'm even nervous for you.
Yeah, so it's a challenge, you know. You've got to just get it right on the day.
You are currently number one in the world. Like, that's got to stand for something.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've done everything right in the last few years anyway, and just have to keep improving it and trying to get better and better. Hopefully, you know, by the time the Olympics do come around, I'll be very hard to beat, hopefully.
Do you watch movies about boxing? Like, God, what a cliche, The Million Dollar Baby. But that was such a good movie. Did you watch that?
Yeah, but it was too sad for me. I only watched it the one time, but I prefer the inspirational boxing films like Rocky.
Like Rocky.
Million Dollar Baby is a bit too depressing.
Did you watch that, Peter?
Yeah, I watched it.
I watched it.
No, I just watched it once.
Too sad, actually.
Yeah.
Or Rocky?
Rocky, I watched it loads of times. Yeah, Rocky loads of times.
What's the best boxing movie?
The Boxer's good, isn't it?
The Boxer's great.
And Cinderella Man's good as well, I think.
Good, all good stories.
Yeah,
Raging Bull was good as well.
And do you find in Ireland now, even attitudes have changed to women boxers? Like, there's always people who are going to think that's weird. But do you think gradually, especially even with the Olympics decision now, that people are changing their mind to women boxers?
The general public are. I think Kay's had great support.
Yeah, definitely.
The general public really are. But even in your own association, you've still got people that they don't treat it in the same regards as the male boxing, you know. But the general public agree.
And I suppose it also was great that maybe the sports council recognised her as well as, you know, an incredible talent here and looked after her accordingly. That's probably important as well, is it?
From day one, the sports council have been absolutely brilliant and backed both of us 100%. Even, like I say, it's only being put into the Olympics now, so it wasn't actually an Olympic sport, but it's still funded Katie, and they've been great.
Because they recognised her talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
And probably without that, it might have been hard to get to the standard you're at now.
Yeah, well, you couldn't train full time without the backing of the sports council, you know.
And the whole thing of amateur versus professional, have you ever thought about turning professional or?
Well, I think it might be an option for me at some stage in my career, but at the moment it's, you know, I'm just kind of concentrating on the Olympics and, but I think I'd like to have a go at professional boxing at some stage, but I know that my father and my family don't really, they're not really mad into the professional boxing, but I think I'd just like to give it a go at some stage, but we'll see.
Why, what's your view on it, Peter?
It's business now, then it's a business, you know, it's, and there's a lot of ruthless people around in it, you know, so I just wouldn't be mad into it now. Kay's boxing off for a few professional shows. Brian Peters has been brilliant with us, you know. But I just won't be mad into it, you know.
It can be tough, and they can be very lonely as well, isn't it? Because when you're an amateur, you've got a whole team.
You've got the team around as well, yeah. And it's a cutthroat business, really, you know.
Mm.
So I wouldn't be mad keen on it now. But whatever Katie decides to do in the future, like we have done, we'll always go with 100%, you know. And like I say, if Katie packs in boxing tomorrow, if she is, we would all be 100% behind her. If she wants to turn professional, we'll be 100% behind her, you know.
Would you worry the professional will be less safe?
It is less safe. Yeah. You know, it's
smaller gloves.
No headgear.
No headgear.
Long rounds, yeah. It's not safe at all, not safe at all.
Katie, you're mad. Don't even think about it.
I'm actually thinking here. What was I thinking?
Yeah, we ruled it out for her. Don't worry. It's over, Peter. Yeah. And we're going to take the next piece of music, which is The Book at the Kings of Leon.
Yeah. This song was actually played at my brother's wedding, Peter and Kim's wedding. So since then, it's been one of my favourite songs, I think so.
Do you listen to music, for instance, when you're training? Or is that just in movies?
Yeah. No, we just kind of have the radio on and whatever's on the radio, that's what we listen to.
So you could be listening to politics.
Yeah, that's it. We could be listening to anything, really.
Okay, let's listen now to The Bucket and the Kings of Leon. And that was The Bucket from the Kings of Leon. I asked Katie about how being a well-known boxer at that stage had brought her to interesting places, including the White House for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest honours of my life, really, to go to be invited to the White House for St. Patrick's Day and to meet Barack Obama and the most, I suppose, inspirational man in the world at the moment, or influential man in the world at the moment, so... Yeah, I was starstruck really when I met him. I didn't know what to be saying to him, but it was brilliant. A great experience.
How did that happen? How did that invite come about?
I think Michelle Obama actually used to box herself, and she used to do a bit of training herself, and her father was actually a boxer as well. So I think there was kind of a connection there. So that's how he kind of found out about myself, I think.
What was it like going that day to the White House?
Unbelievable, even travelling over there. It was so exciting, you know, and...
Who went? You and Katie, was it?
And Bridget.
And Bridget, great. Yeah, Bridget got out of Tina the Trump.
Yeah.
They didn't get into the White House.
We didn't get into the White House.
Oh, did you?
No, we were left at the front gate.
And did you get to talk to Barack and Michelle?
Yeah, they just kind of shook my hand, and they're only talking to him for a minute or so, but there were so many people in the White House at the time, so, but even to kind of shake their hand and they're talking to me for a minute or whatever, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing. Perks of the game.
Yeah, that's it.
And March, that was March, of course. And in the same month, you lost the first fight, I think it's in 40 fights or something, was it?
Yeah, my first fight two or three years, I think. So it was definitely hard to take. It was against the Russian girl over in Czech Republic. And well, she was a former world champion herself. And I mean, I knew it was going to be a tough fight, but just didn't really box well on the day or whatever. And she deserved to win, but you know, you learn from your losses as well, and it's a good challenge now trying to get to fight back, and you know, hopefully meet her again at the World Championships, and kind of have to show a bit of character now and determination. And it's good to come back from a loss as well, I think.
And having won so many in a row for 3 years, how difficult is it to lose?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, I think I cried for 2 weeks afterwards.
Oh.
it was definitely tough to take, but. You have ups and downs in life all the time, and in your boxing career as well. So you just have to stay strong and stay positive, and you know.
What can you say in the corner after that to make her feel better?
You couldn't say anything. It was heartbreaking on the day, and kind of that's kind of when we needed Bridget over with us. Then you know she's great for them kind of occasions, but. It's actually okay. It was a kick up the backside, really, you know, because girls were running scared, and this girl she rose to the challenge, and she put it up to us. So it's a great challenge now. We're looking forward to.
Did you learn from it though?
Big time.
Definitely.
Like what? Yeah.
We just need to reevaluate where we were in this training, and like I say, we were turning up. And people were a little bit afraid now of Katie at this stage, and this girl she rose to the challenge. And then. I think 3 weeks later we went to Turkey Open. She'd be there in Turkey to box, and they're always in Turkey, and they never arrive, so we were disappointed there. But World Championships now, I'm looking forward to meeting her in the World Championships now. It's really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great challenge, you know, and like I say, she's the girl's 2 times world champion as well. She's a great boxer as well. And it's going to be a great fight when they eventually meet again.
And I mean, most of your life you've won, Katie. Is there one win that stood out for you, like your proudest moment or your sweetest moment, or are all wins sweet?
Yeah, I think all wins are sweet, but I think the major championships, like the World Championships and European Championships, are always very special. And one of the greatest moments was actually boxing on the undercard of Bernard Dunn and Ricardo Cordoba in the O2. And I think it was boxing in front of 10,000 people and live on TV. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my boxing career, I think, just to box in front of my home crowd. It was brilliant.
And you, Peter, would there be a proudest moment for you or a fight you remember?
Yeah, every time, mate, when we won a big title, the Europeans or the first world, you're thinking, this is hard to surpass this. But I think when you retain them, it's even better. In China, boxing a Chinese girl, the girl was 6 foot tall, you know, and yeah, probably went into that as an underdog, really, of boxing in China, you know, and that was a great, great night as well, you know. This year, hopefully, we retained a world title. Be even better, you know.
And you're both Christians, aren't you? Explain to me what that means to you both.
Well, it's the single most important thing in my life anyway. It's definitely wanting to be where I was without God in my life, and just the way I live my life as well. And it just means so much to me, you know. Definitely, yeah, it's God who kind of gives me the strength and the confidence every time I step into the ring. And definitely wouldn't be sitting here as a world champion without God in my life.
When you say you're Christian, there's probably loads of people listening this morning, and there may be Church of Ireland or Roman Catholic or whatever. I mean, what are you in terms of being a Christian?
Well, obviously, before my fights, I'm always praying. Well, I'm praying nearly every day, kind of constantly. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of try to live my life that's pleasing to God, and try to be a good role model for people, and just try to be a good person, I suppose. And
it's really interesting. And did you get that from your parents?
Yeah, I think it kind of came more from your mother.
Bridget?
I was kind of brought up as a Christian through my mother.
And was Bridget always very religious or Christian?
No, it's only been in the last maybe 25 years, you know.
Still a long time.
It's a long time, it is a long time, yeah. But I think she's kind of the rock of the house, really, you know.
Yeah.
She does all the work that people don't see, but I think she's the rock of the house as well, you know.
And is it what people would call born-again Christians?
Yeah.
And how does that change affect your life, Peter?
I wouldn't go to church as much as Katie or Bridget or the rest of the family, yeah.
Would you pray before a fight?
Oh, yeah.
Praise when I need something.
Yeah, that's it, you know. I'm one of those people. I pray when we need, when I need things, you know, so.
And in terms of boyfriends, Katie, they don't fit into your life, do they, at the moment?
Not at the moment, I think. It's
You're too busy.
Too busy, but it's definitely wouldn't be on my list of priorities at the moment. I'm just kind of training and boxing all the time. So maybe, you know, if I ever do meet someone that I like, well then, I suppose make it work. But at the moment, just too busy with boxing.
Would you like a boxer?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a nice Olympic champion boxer.
Well, it's coming up. She's passing into
Olympic champion.
And going forward, you train other people as well, don't you, Peter? Not just Katie.
Yeah, Bray Boxing Club, very successful this year. We had 5 Irish champions and 9 Leinster champions. So we had a great year, you know. I think it's half and half with girls at the moment as well in the club, isn't it? 50% girls, 50%.
And that must be Katie, because I assume when you see something like Katie, loads of little girls can aspire to doing that.
Yeah, that's it. It's probably the strongest club for female boxers in the country at the moment, you know. That's due to Katie's success.
And do you find a lot of little girls or young girls come up to you and talk to you about being boxers?
Yeah, I get that a lot. Actually, it's great to see so many girls involved in the sport now, and some of the young girls coming up are absolutely brilliant as well, and there's no reason why they can't become world champions as well and make a career out of it, because some of them are absolutely amazing, aren't you? Some of the little girls are. So it's great to see.
And the people who would be critical, would they be mainly men or women? Or a bit of both?
No.
I'd be mainly men, wouldn't it? Because the boxing's been male-dominated for so long. And I suppose, really, if you think about it, we're used to it, but it's difficult probably for some people to see two two girls punching each other as well, they probably find that hard to take as well, you know.
And what do you say if people say, oh, it goes against nature to have two women beating each other up?
It goes against nature. It's sport, you know, and that's it. It's sport, you know. People said the same about soccer. Yeah. They didn't want girls to play soccer. They didn't want girls to play GAA. You know, it's just discrimination, really, you know.
But with the Olympics now in 2012, it's almost like the discrimination is becoming less so.
Definitely. I think when people see, you know, women boxing in the Olympics, they're going to kind of open their eyes to it as well, because people, I don't think, realise how, they don't realise how good the women are and how the standard of women's boxing is absolutely amazing out there at the moment. And when they see it in the Olympics, and the whole world is going to see it then, and I think it's going to be great for sport.
I think everybody will be shocked at the standard of female boxing out there. When the Olympic Council went to Russia to watch Katie and the other girls boxing, they were shocked themselves. They said they couldn't tell the difference between the male and the female boxing. They said actually the female were probably technically better, but they couldn't believe that the standard out there, you know.
Because you're a bit of a trailblazer for boxing. Like, Katie Taylor has kind of made it an acceptable sport.
Well, thanks very much.
And also, though, when you walked in today, you look so kind of gentle and beautiful. Yeah. It's like, hey, you couldn't be a boxer.
Oh, it's, I don't know. I suppose it's always been a normal thing for me to be involved in the sport, and women boxers can make it as a career as well, so as well as the men, so it's great.
So European in about 4 weeks. Where is that on?
It's in Hungary.
And have you already watched DVDs of the people, the women should be fighting with people?
Well, with the draw's not made yet. We're going there, we're weighing, and we don't even know who will be there. And then I take the computer over and I have all the female boxing on the computer. So
don't think he sleeps when I'm away. He's watching them all the time.
Yeah, so.
And then the world after that, championships. Yeah. When's that on and where?
On September the 9th in Barbados.
And in the run-up to the Olympics, is it important you do well in both of those?
Yeah, it's important to keep winning coming up to the Olympics, I suppose. And I want to set my mark, and I want to, you know, I suppose, be going into the Olympic qualifiers as a favourite and as the one to beat. Even for your own confidence, it's important to keep winning.
And once the World Championships is over, then will all your energies really be focused on the Olympics?
Yeah, after the Worlds, then obviously Katie's going to take 4 or 5 weeks off there now. She can't have a rest.
No.
No.
Yeah.
What will you do for that time?
When I have a few weeks off, sometimes I don't know what to be doing with myself, you know.
Yeah.
After 2 weeks,
you're bored.
I'm like, yeah, it's just why I want to go back to the gym. But yeah, it's, I might go on a holiday maybe, or we'll see.
Yeah, then with 2011, we've defend the European title again in 2011. But there's all ranking tournaments to go in. And the ranking tournaments are going to be for the Olympics, for the qualifier. So we've got to go prepare for that then as well.
And when you no longer box, have you thought about what you'd like to do then?
I'm not sure, really. I haven't kind of thought that far, but I might go back to college even. Or
because you could be a coach yourself when you get older, couldn't you? I mean, you could coach.
Yeah, I think that would be something that I'd love to do. I think coaching the women's team even, or definitely would be something that that we'll be interested in after I retire.
Well, listen, best of luck to you, Katie and Peter, in all your championships coming up and the Olympics in 2012, but I talked to you before then. And that was our conversation on Miriam Meets 2 years ago. I hope she'll have a great holiday after her brilliant achievement. The original programme was produced by Eileen Herron with Sheila Neuville on sound. And we took a last piece of music, Peter's choice, and it's Three Little Birds from Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, yeah. It's a big Bob Marley fan when I came over to Ireland. So,
why do you like that one?
Jackie McGrandson told me to bigger.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason.
Miriam Meets on RTE Radio 1. Listen back or podcast at rte.ie/radioplayer.